A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Now let's pause there, because Simon is somewhere walking. Yes, he's just turning the corner, and they're just saying to him, come on, carry this cross for this man Jesus. Yes, he's on his way. So let us continue to read. Where were we up to? Verse 22, did you say? Okay. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, dividing, and they cast lots to see what each would get. Thank you, Simon. You're from Cyrene, aren't you?
Yeah.
That's a long way away. You'll be tired. Would you like to go and sit down now? And thank you for carrying the cross. So, that was what happened, according to what the Bible tells us, which we believe it to be true. And it says there that they divided his clothes and cast lots. And it wouldn't have been quite like this, but, you know, they would be tossing up something or other, like bit like these dice, to see who could get the best clothes. That's amazing, isn't it? Strip them all off Jesus, and then instead of taking them to the charity shop, they decided that they'd have them for themselves, and so they tossed it up. How degrading, just think about it for a moment, how degrading that would be for Jesus, just to be stripped of his clothes, and then to see them, toss them about, and decide, and argue, and probably that is exactly what they did. So, we come to the next bit of the story. You're on the same page, and we're at verse 25, and we go down to verse 32. So let's read together. It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified 2 rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled incense, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself." Isn't that amazing? I mean, in just a few words, the most momentous event in the whole of the world, in the whole of human history, is recorded. Now get the feel of that. Get the feel of it. It's not pages and pages, chapters and chapters, just a few words that we have just read together. And we see there that he was crucified and there was the mocking. It's hard to be made fun of. I wonder if you boys and girls have ever been made fun of by somebody. Anybody ever been made fun of? I look at your teeth, you've lost a tooth. I don't like what you're wearing. Anybody been made fun of? Put your hand up. Any adult, if you've ever been made fun of? I have. You know, it's not a nice feeling, is it? And Jesus was being made fun of by quite important people, because there were the Romans, but there was all the crowd as well. Everybody was against him. I would hazard a guess that there's nobody here that's been in a crowd when everybody has been against you. And even those who sort of stood and had a look, they weren't going to be against him, but they weren't exactly going to cheer for him either. They were the disciples. What a sad situation that was for the Lord Jesus. And so the story goes on. But think of him there, hanging on the cross. He was alone except for somebody else hanging on a cross on the left and on the right, and the crowd round him. Where were the disciples? Where would you be? Where would I be? He was alone. He was alone. And so as we think about that, we go on to the next bit. And this time it's 33 to 37. 33 to 37. Are you with me? At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the morning. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lima sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me?" We go on a little bit more. Now, isn't it amazing? I suppose the sponge on a stick was something like this, I don't know. And that was the only comfort they gave him. That was the only comfort they gave him. And there he was hanging, and remember that they'd taken all his clothes off him. And there he was. There he was. And those words that are up here, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now listen carefully, please, because this is ever so important, but not that easy to catch on to. When Jesus said those words, God his Father had turned his back on his Son, Jesus. Why? Because at that moment, Jesus was deluged, as it were, with all the sin of the world, including yours and including mine. And God cannot look on sin. He's got to do something about it. And God punishes sin. So he was punishing Jesus because Jesus had took our sin on him. That's why Jesus said those words. It wasn't just that Jesus says, I'm all alone now. It was because our sin and the sin of the whole world was there. Now, that's a hard thing for some of us to get hold of. Even grown-ups, I find, can't get hold of that. It's not just the young people. But you think about it, because that is what it's all about. That is what it's all about. Now, we're at Golgotha. Can you say that word with me? Golgotha. Have we spelled it right? We hope we have. Golgotha. Now, this was not in the city of Jerusalem. It was just outside the city of Jerusalem. Sometimes it's called another name. Anyone know another name for it? What? The place of the skull, yes. Yet another name. I've heard it, Calvary. Luke's gospel calls it Calvary. It's a lovely word, Calvary. For me, for some reason or other, I was brought up with a chorus that said, all the way to Calvary he went for me. Anybody remember that? Some of you may. But that was the name of the place, and it was outside of the city wall, because the city was so important that you didn't kill people inside the city, you shoved them outside and did all the dirty work outside. That's why he was outside the city wall. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to stand up and turn round because we're actually going to move into Jerusalem to the temple. And I want you, adults, please, just to note what I'm going to say now. We're in for a surprise. So if you've got little children with you, we're in for a surprise. We are now in the city, and some amazing things are happening in the city. Look at that. Now that's been torn, can you see that it's torn? That was like a big carpet. It was ever so big. No one ever went the other side of that except the high priest. And he went once a year. No one else ever went. That was, they called it the veil of the temple. And I want you, if you can find it, please, to look at this verse, which is 38, verse 38. We're in chapter 15 again. Chapter 15 and verse 38. Will you read that with me? The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Wow. Now, isn't that amazing? This was happening in Jerusalem. Why was it happening in Jerusalem? Why was it happening in the temple? Because what God was saying is, you don't need to be kept away from me any longer. You don't need a priest to get to me. I'm opening it all up for you because Jesus has died. So there on the hilltop outside of the city at Golgotha or Calvary or the place of the skull, Jesus was hanging on the cross, and there in the temple, God was saying, come to me because Jesus has died for you. A moment as we stand to thank him for that. A moment as we stand quietly to thank him for that. Heavenly Father, we are moved beyond words to thank you that your son died and that you showed it to us so clearly by rending the temple that kept us away from you from top to bottom, so that we may come to you because Jesus has died for us. We thank you. Amen. Amen. And during this song, we're going to have the people who gathered round the cross, according to Mark. There were three women, there were two Marys, and another lady called Salome. And standing, of course, by the cross were the Roman soldiers. So we're going to have a Roman soldier here. So as we sing this song, those people will come and stand at the cross for us. Just a moment to think about those words before we sit down. Will you have a look at them again? Oh, to see my name written in the wounds. For through your suffering, that's Jesus, I am free. Death is crushed to death. Life is mine to live. Won through your selfless love. How good is that? Please sit. And we take our Bibles again, page 1023, if you've lost it. And we're at verse 39, which is right at the bottom of the left-hand column. And we read up to verse 41. Okay. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of the younger and of Joseph, and Salome. These women had followed him and cared for his wounds. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. And here they are. Isn't that amazing? Can you hold those things up a bit higher, if you don't mind. And we've got our centurion, a Roman centurion, no less. And you know, he said some amazing things, didn't he? This is what he said. Let's read it together. Surely this man was the Son of God. What happened to him? He was a Roman. He was against all these stupid Jewish people. He was against Jesus. He'd got a job to do. And he saw in a moment that Jesus was the Son of God. And do you know what? God wouldn't say, oh, you're a Roman. You've denied me all your life. You've been awful. I'm not going to bother. God said, come on, man. You've seen that my son is the Son of God. That's great, isn't it? That's what we need to be in the family of God. Just that. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross. That's it. That's it. Isn't that good? So that's good, man, that you believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Now these ladies, I don't want to make the point too hard, guys, but the women were there. Maybe it's because we're softies. Maybe they thought they'd see if they could do something. I don't know, but whatever their motive was, they loved him. They loved him. And three of them were quite close. Mary, the mother of James, Mary Magdalene. We read a lot about her in the Gospels. And a lady called Salome. And they'd been good to Jesus. They were probably quite well off. And so they'd looked after food for him, you know, and somewhere to lay his head and maybe a change of robe sometimes, you know, because he traveled a lot, maybe some new sandals. We don't know. But they'd looked after him. And they weren't going to leave him even at the last. And it says there were others watching from afar. It was a dangerous place to be. I don't think I would have been close, quite honestly. I would have been hiding behind a doorway or peeping out of a window or something and keeping away. There were hundreds of Roman soldiers there. Hundreds. Because this was their prize captive. And they wanted to say to Caesar in Rome, we got him at last. So it was a pretty tense scene there. Golgotha. The place of the skull. Calvary. And they were there. What a wonderful thing it is. Now, we're going to leave it like this. But of course, you know what went on. The third day, he rose again. So come on Sunday. Please come on Sunday. Please come tonight if you can, because the choir are going to sing about it in Stainless Crucifixion. Come on Sunday. And we will rejoice together. And if by any chance this has struck you for the first time, perhaps for the first time you've got, oh, I got it now, I see it now. Why? You're probably saying, why haven't I got it before? But never mind about that. If you've got it now, this is going to be a great day for you. And if you want to talk to any one of us, we've got folks here who could help you a bit. There's Liz at the back and Ken and Ray and Angela. There's folk around, Margaret. We'd love to talk with you. If you just grab one of us and say, come on, you know, does it really work? And we can tell you it really works. He works in our lives. We're not perfect, by the way. You've seen me today, so you know nobody's perfect. Goodness. But that isn't what we're after. We're after living for him and believing in him and being assured of a place in heaven. That's what we're after. It's worth having. That's good. So let's pray for a moment. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this timeless event, earth-shattering, eternity-connecting, historical event that happened there in Jerusalem long ago. And we pray that we may see the relevance of it for us today. We may know that Jesus died for me. All the way to Calvary, he went for me. And so we pray for each one of us that Good Friday and tomorrow and Easter Sunday and all the days and weeks and months and years that lie ahead of us, we will walk with Jesus, knowing that he is the Son of God and that he died for us. And we thank you that he gave us this prayer, which we're going to pray together, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.